That's powerful, isn't it? Beautiful. All right. In the North American church, we often define missions as moving to another cultural context across the globe with the intention of sharing the good news. We do not normally think of extending the love of Christ in our own increasingly diverse community as missions. Furthermore, sharing the gospel in a Christian-saturated area such as Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, might even be considered unnecessary, despite the importance of each generation being presented with and embracing the good news. Dr. Matthew Montgomery, a trusted friend and mentor, describes an insight he took home from one of his many short-term mission trips with the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I learned it's not only possible, but necessary and appropriate to share the hope of Christ with our patients. And not just abroad, but at home, too. What happened? God revealed to Matt that as a new creation, he was called to share the reconciling love of Christ every day at home, yes, with his family, and in his medical practice with whomever the Lord brought to him, wherever they were from, whatever the scenario. This insight has provided a model for generations of Christ ambassadors, part of Penn State Hershey's Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Graduates serve in a variety of places, here in Lancaster County, across the state, the nation, and the globe. 2 Corinthians 5:9 through 6:2 is a foundational passage in our call to serve our Lord and Savior, who died that we may have eternal life. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, follow along with me as I read, beginning with 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 through 11. Give you a minute to get there. I confess actually having printed it out on a sheet of paper myself. So, we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. How do we use our time on earth? When all our labors fall under the scrutiny of the Lord on the day of judgment, we want to focus on pleasing the Lord and fulfilling his call on our lives instead of the trivial matters of this world. Just as when Paul was brought before the judgment seat in Corinth, recorded in Acts 18, 12 through 17, we should be motivated not by seeking to accomplish good works for recognition, but instead by a reverential awe of and love of our Lord. May our lives evidence this when we come before the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, 12 through 13, we read, "What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some would say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you." These verses remind us how difficult, at times seemingly impossible, it is to be considered sane and or credible when we share the gospel in challenging contexts. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is defending his credibility against detractors who offered, sounds like LinkedIn, letters of recommendation their Jewish ancestry, the stories of amazing spiritual experiences, and the demonstration of gifts. As you may remember, Jesus was referred to as mad by family and religious leaders. See Mark 3:21 and John 10:20. And Paul was accused of being mad by the Roman governor Festus. See Acts 26:22-25. Taking a step back, as Christ followers together, we have been given and are to embody a different way of life and perspective on reality than is what is offered by the culture of this world. Indeed, the gospel is considered foolishness to the world and can at times even be hard for the people of God to embrace, whether in Corinth or in our present community. Today, the foundations of our faith, the atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, are not an accepted fact on the halls of the campuses that I walk on or in the tables of dialogue of most universities, let alone public schools. But the love of Christ, extended through clarity in word, life, and teaching, testifies to the transformative reality of the good news, no matter the context. The theme of this month was certainly true when I began ministering at Carnegie Mellon, a secular university specializing in technology and research. The task of building relationships that would lead to faith and deepen faith looked impossible, not only because of my lack of computer science and engineering background, but also my education at a Christian college and determination to serve as a campus minister instead of getting a real job. The 23 years I spent with InterVarsity were difficult, as I learned how, as part of a team, to connect with students and faculty from the nations across the United States and a diversity of academic disciplines and campuses. But the fruit of the ministry proved that while not done, the mission is not only happening, but even flourishing. Praise God. What was my inspiration in ministry? The desire to be recognized or to achieve numerical goals, and I was asked for them many times. Converts, followers, chapters, social media visits, etc. No, the motivation is the love of Christ, which we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we were convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Upon reflection, one of the most significant elements of my mission has been God's gift for an unflagging passion to be part of a creative team raising up the next generation of lifelong missionaries, where they live, eat, study, work, play. Yes, God is at work everywhere. Maybe I should say that again, because sometimes I don't know if we believe it, do we? God is at work everywhere. Jesus, who gave his life for us, is not a house guest in our lives. Instead, as Robert Munger emphasizes in My Heart, Christ's Home, Jesus owns the deed to the whole house. Jesus died for redemption of every room of the house of our lives. We do not have our own self-centered closets, relationships, or activities to hide from Jesus. In college, through an extended dialogue and a powerful moment of realization, I accepted Jesus' lordship over my life. When the chains fell off, I gave over self-motivated pursuits of accomplishment and recognition, I guess I would add, not only of myself, but of my family, to embrace the one who loved me and gave himself not only for me, but for all. Regarding our perspective on others, Paul writes in verse 16, "So from now on, we regard no one," that's a pretty strong word there, "no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Remember, Paul, or maybe I should say Saul, was a religious leader among the Pharisees who had been a hate-filled persecutor of early followers of Jesus, understanding him to be a false teacher and a messianic pretender, obviously falling under the curse of God by hanging from a tree, which we find referred to in passages such as Deuteronomy 21:23, and Paul's reflections, Galatians 3:13, and Philippians 3, verses 4 through 8. Although you most probably do not have such a background and may not have had a Damascus Road experience, face-to-face experience with the Son of God, as recorded by Paul in Acts 9, the point is that we are to extend the love, the sacrificial care of Christ. In addition, we are to offer a proper understanding of Jesus Christ to all inside and outside of these walls, that those currently outside the body of Christ may accept the gospel personally and become part of the body of Christ. How do we do this? The transforming grace of God imparts to us as individuals and as the body of Christ the urgent Christ-centered ministry of reconciliation. While partnering, yes, we don't do it alone. While partnering, Christ partners with us in this very mission. And we read this in chapter 5, verses 17 through chapter 6, verse 2. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us, the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. How amazing. We, each and every one of us, are new creations with the ministry of reconciliation. Christ's followers are remade and declared righteous through the sinless Son of God, who took on the sin of the whole world and paid for it on the cross. God has taken the initiative. In response, we are to declare God's forgiveness, testified to by Christ's resurrection, to others that they may embrace it. As Christ's ambassadors, despite the challenges of the old creation which surround us, and maybe even we wrestle with inside of us, we represent Christ's agenda throughout our life, wherever we are, or wherever we are sent to extend the Lord's work. 2 years ago, I transitioned from my broad focus on higher education with InterVarsity to a narrower focus on healthcare professionals through the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. After a decade of serving medical students involved in the Penn State Hershey chapter of CMDA, the Lord has given me a dual focus of being Christ's ambassador and encouraging and equipping the next generation of Christ's ambassadors in healthcare. Several of the healthcare professionals in our local assembly have spoken to, hosted, mentored, and or provided meals for those engaged in this significant work. And thank you. I currently serve as CMDA's Northeast Regional Director. I began this role in January 2020. My region extends from Maine, if you can imagine that, to Virginia. So it includes Pennsylvania. My intention, as I began, was to travel throughout the Northeast region, visiting campuses and CMDA members, encouraging students and healthcare professionals in their walk with Jesus. But COVID-19 challenged this ministry model. Again, Hudson Taylor's quote comes to mind. At first, as the pandemic unfolded, the logistics of ministry seemed impossible. But as I employed the tools of technology, it was evident that though difficult, ministry and friendships could not only happen, but even flourish in new and unconventional ways. In addition to virtual meetings across the region, offering deeper connections through song, prayer, and teaching, I engaged in significant virtual conversations. One of the toughest and yet most rewarding interactions was with my friend, Dr. David Kim, who runs the Beacon Christian Community Health Center on Staten Island in New York City. Last spring, as you may remember, New York City was the epicenter of the pandemic. David and his staff needed encouragement. They needed to know that they were not alone in the uncertainties that they faced. They needed to know that the larger body of Christ was praying for them and interceding for them on their behalf. Fourth-year medical students in New York City were graduated early. You might think that's exciting, except that you're thrust into the pandemic serving, not knowing what in the world you're doing. Amid the crisis, Doctors David and Janet Kim created and offered an online crash course curriculum for these new doctors. At some point, an online prayer meeting for residents began, and invitations then were extended across the United States. I have been involved with this online prayer meeting. What a gift to share life together as participants take risks sharing their stories with vulnerability and extending the love of Christ to one another. I've never been in so long of a prayer meeting with so few people sharing what they have experienced. David and Janet have four children. During the last several days of 2020, COVID-19 hit several members of their family. I talked with and cried with David, as he cared for Janet when she became dangerously ill with COVID-19 and was hospitalized. Thankfully, by God's grace, all their family members recovered. Having that close relationship with David gave me insight into the stresses that some healthcare workers faced over the course of the past year, particularly in New York City. Last week, I visited the Kim family, staying at their home, participating in online prayer meeting with residents, leading a staff devotional in person at their health center, receiving a tour of the neighborhoods which they serve, which include people from many nations, and getting an incredible diversity of food. It was awesome. Partnering with them in investing in the lives of two medical students, receiving intensive two-week training at Beacon this summer, and engaging in long discussions regarding next steps in ministry as we engage students across the Big Apple during these challenging times, as no campus really knows what they're doing as we approach the fall. What a gift. As Christ's ambassadors, we are compelled by our reverential awe of and the very love of Christ, as we read about in 2 Corinthians 5. My focus is with healthcare professionals. Your focus may be with a school, workplace, ministry, or particular community. We are all everywhere missionaries where the Lord has placed us for this season. We can all be encouragers and mentors for the next generation of Christ's followers. As I consider E-Town, I am struck that one does not need to travel beyond our small town to encounter the nations and extend the love of Christ. Missions involves the realization that the world continues to make its home with us here in South Central Pennsylvania. My friend Nathan, who grew up locally, but I met through InterVarsity in another place, now teaches at Cornell, recently posted on Facebook a story about how he would play soccer growing up every week with Latino immigrants in Elizabethtown area. Just this summer, he was visiting home. He ran into his soccer friend, Gerson, whom he hadn't seen for quite some time. Gerson now owns Fuego Latino, a successful Latin American restaurant right here in town. Nathan was of mixed race himself, and he is encouraged by our community embracing its diversity one bite at a time. What a joy to see within the walls of EBIC the ministry of English as a second language, providing a growing engagement of a diversity of families, cultures, and stories. If you haven't already picked up a copy of, it's nice and short, Surprise the World, The Five Habits of Highly Missional People in the Lobby, I encourage you to do such. To learn about how to engage everywhere missions, not only by regularly going to and extending hospitality to the outsider, but also finding accountability in your growth group, fellowship group, wherever, and direction and guidance from the Word, Spirit, and the people of God. The emphasis through our summer adult elective time has been that all of us, as new creations through Christ, are called to joyfully extend the gospel in our own contexts, in our jobs, in our homes, in our communities, with our friends and our families. There are more opportunities than appear on the surface. In that sense, we are all missionaries extending the good news in a broken world everywhere we are sent each day. In elective time between services, we'll hear from Pam Grosh on working in the justice system. Next week, we'll hear from Jeff Erickson on software engineering. And in 2 weeks, students from Penn State Hershey will reflect on being a student. To summarize, God is at work everywhere, and we are all called to be co-workers with him amid life as usual in South Central Pennsylvania, and sometimes in unconventional ways. What's the roadmap to missions everywhere and in the unconventional context? It's not different than it is in the global cross-cultural missions. Wherever we are, by all available means, we're all Christ's ambassadors. Thank you for your prayers, encouragement, and partnership with our family's labors as part of Everywhere Missions. What a privilege not only to have journeyed with you through these seemingly impossible times, but also to press into the hard and unconventional opportunities that are unfolding. Let us worship, fix our eyes on, and press on in the upward hope of Christ Jesus every step of the way with anticipation of the new heavens and the new earth. To God be the glory.
Will you please stand and join me in singing our closing song?